Hi there. You're listening to WNYU 89.1 FM New York. Welcome to Citywide. Citywide is an arts and culture program that airs every Wednesday evening at 7:30. Each week, we feature an interview with a person or people talking about the art that they are involved in, especially that which appears here in New York City. My name is Lucas Green. My show today falls into the documentary category of arts and culture. I am discussing a movie titled Brzezinski. I'm really glad I came upon this topic, actually. It caught me off guard at first because it describes some outrageous happenings, but I think it's really important. The movie covers a subject that I am fortunate for not having to personally experience the turmoil of at all in my adult life. It's talking about cancer. Brzezinski tells the trials of a Polish doctor in the U.S., Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski, who found an immensely preferable alternative to radiation treatment, chemotherapy, which is administered to cancer patients, and it tells how he was restricted by certain powers that be from saving, you know, countless lives and an innumerable amount of pain for those afflicted. So the story you are about to hear is very heavy in so many ways, but I think inspiring also. I hope this interview today will encourage you to see the movie. It opens on June 4th here in the city at Cinema Village on 22 East 12th Street. It will go until June 10th. Talking about the film with me today is its director, Eric Merola. How you doing, Eric?
I'm great, Luke. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Eric's film has already appeared in several festivals in the U.S. and even outside the U.S., right?
Yeah, actually only in Australia, but yes, outside.
And it won the Humanitarian Vision Award at California's Newport Beach Festival, so it's already making something of an impact. Eric, how did you find this story?
Well, my background is not like at all that sort of the controversial nature that I've decided to go after with this film. I'm very much a advertising guy, worked on Madison Avenue for a long time, directing television commercials from everything from JCPenney's to print ads for Philip Morris and Big Pharma. I've always been, an advertising guy, but I've always loved film, always loved documentary film very much, and especially documentaries that sort of delve into the very hard truths that the media usually doesn't dive as far into. And honestly, I just sort of got interested in the whole alternative medicine world, sort of in my peripheral. As a hobby, every once in a while, I'd look at this site or that site, whether you're reading Huffington Post or what have you, there's always some sort of, alternative supplemental method out there. And kind of a long story short, I discovered a book called The Cancer Industry by Ralph Moss, a former public relations director of Sloan Kettering Cancer Hospital here in New York City. And he got fired from his job for blowing the whistle on some cover-ups that occurred around another cancer treatment in the 70s. And it got me very interested. But in this book, he has several chapters of several different treatments, and one of them was Brzezinski. And while the other ones sort of talked about these holistic sort of supplements, lifestyle changes, et cetera, Brzezinski was a different. He's a PhD biochemist. He's a medical doctor. He's currently in FDA-approved clinical trials. And the fact that he went up against the federal government, the FDA, and won not one but two federal trials against them to win his freedom to continue treating cancer patients with his innovative treatment, that just was so exciting to me. So honestly, I just started out as an interest that I couldn't kind of put down. And just a guy working in media, never done my own documentary before, I just started contacting the clinic. And I got to his assistants, and they said, you and 10 other people want to do a documentary. No one seems to follow through on it. But I was very persistent, and he maybe jumped through a lot of hoops to kind of sort of gain his trust. But I did manage to get my first interview with him. But honestly, I didn't really want to go after the sort of turmoil that he went through as much as I just wanted to cover his treatment and how he discovered it and the reality of him curing certain types of cancer. So I just wanted to do that and then have patients. And I wanted to meet his patients. I was willing to use my own money to fly to different parts of the country and meet his patients. And then also I was very strict on saying I want medical records. I want to see their proof of diagnosis from a third-party institution, and I want to see their proof of recovery. And I do not even want to talk to anyone that has ever touched chemo or radiation. Just give me people who are given a terminal diagnosis and only used his treatment, and that's it. And so that's what I did. And I talked to over 12 people, but I only chose three for the film itself. But while I got deeper into it and spent more time with Brzezinski, he started talking about this very, very bad activity that happened with him, his relationship with the National Cancer Institute, that if you see the film, you'll realize it's quite criminal. And then I don't want to give the end of the film away. Then he started talking about another aspect of the story that got me extremely excited, and which is how the film ends. And you see, you watch the entire film probably mind-boggled, wondering why this is occurring. You might come up with your own conclusions, but when you get to the end, you come to realize why all of this happened to him. And again, luckily, he came out ahead. So I dropped everything as soon as I realized how big the story was, and I quit my job and took whatever savings I had. I exhausted my credit cards, and my wife luckily has a job, and she's been supporting us through. And I don't know, what started out as what I thought would be a little special, maybe an underground DVD, has exploded into something that is going to be, as you know, in New York and L.A. And I've got it. I'm not allowed to say. They asked me not to say. But one of the major news magazines on one of the major three networks is doing a special with him included. It may supposedly air in August, and they actually came out and videotaped me at Newport Beach and videotaped the Q&A. So it's something that I never thought would ever reach into the mainstream. It is, and it's incredibly exciting, and I think it could help a lot of people and shed some light on a corner of our society that hasn't really been shined on very, very brightly yet. So
it seems like it's paying off so far.
Yeah, it has. You see all these people with their films, and they say, "I never could imagine it ever would have gotten to this." I swear it's true. I never could imagine it would even gotten this far. So
when was it that you decided that you were going to invest so much of yourself, so much of your time into this topic?
When I really dropped everything, I guess it was about 13 or 14 months ago. I'd been working on it before that by just communicating with him and doing all the research he asked me to do and doing my own research and starting to talk to his patients by the telephone and sort of arranging everything. But yeah, really, honestly, I also realized that how controversial it is, and I realized that. And everybody keeps saying to me, "Watch your back," yeah, because this is information that the powers that be, so to speak, don't want people to know. However, I'm not really afraid of that sort of mythical idea. But I also realized that I had to do it quickly and quietly. So while I was still working, I just planned, and then around, I guess it was January, February of last year. In 2009 is when I dropped everything and just went in full production and just never turned back. And I didn't bring anybody else in very much. I had a lot of helpers with documents and such. But as far as the creative end, shooting it and editing it and arranging the music, or not me arranging the music, but getting music brought in and things like that, I did it single-handedly. And that sounds crazy to wear so many hats to do a full feature film. But frankly, I'd been doing editing for so many years, been doing motion graphics and animation for a long time. So basically, I'm the kind of guy that a director would have to hire to like make it look beautiful. And I've already done that, and I know how to do that. I just decided to tell the story and make it look good, if you know what I mean. So
how did it come to be you that was the person to tell this story?
Because it was sort of mine from the beginning, I guess. I just wanted to do it. I just sought after. I didn't say, "Oh, I need to find a director." I said, "I'm going to do this." You know, I just became obsessed with the story. It's the best way I could tell you. I couldn't put it down, and I lived and breathed it. And I kind of joke sometimes saying I was like the crazy guy with all the documents everywhere, putting pieces together. And because literally there is that much evidence to support the case, and I bought a new filing cabinet. You know, and I just never thought for a minute that anyone else should take this on, frankly. I just had a very specific vision for it as soon as I realized how profound the story really was. So,
all right. So before we go any further, tell me about Dr. Brzezinski. Who is this guy?
Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski. He's from Poland originally, and he got his medical degree there. And he was the youngest guy to ever get a PhD in biochemistry in such a short period of time. It was like only a little over a year. He got his PhD in biochemistry right after his medical degree. So he actually made headlines in Poland at the time. He went to a medical school in Lublin, Poland. While he was getting his PhD in biochemistry, he discovered a strain of peptides in human blood and human urine that had never been discovered before. He had no idea what it meant, but he and his colleagues were obviously very excited about it. So he like myself with the film, he became obsessed with it and continued to explore it. And he tested it in different sexes, different races, even in animals and such. Then he got to people with cancer and realized that people with cancer had a very low level or simply lacked, if they were at high stage, late stage cancer, these peptides. So he simply hypothesized, wow, maybe if I am able to extract these peptides from human donors, he actually started with his own blood, actually, in the very early days, and give it to people with cancer, maybe it would be helpful. But before he actually took that next step, when he was in Poland in the late 60s, he did make the discovery, but he was asked to join the Communist Party, and he denied, because he was a very successful scientist. He was high profile in the press, and he denied. He said, I don't want to be a part of the Communist Party. And they put him through one service of the army. Everyone in Poland at the time had to serve one term in the army, or whatever the Polish version of the army is. He got out. They asked him again. He said no. They sent him right back in, even though he was only supposed to serve one term. Then he realized when he was in the second serving the second time, he was surrounded by other scientists, and they were out in the middle of nowhere. And he realized what had just happened. They were simply, punishing these people for refusing to join the party. So as soon as this was done, he pulled some strings within the government and within his medical school, sort of having a little bit of power, managed to get a passport. They only allowed him to take $15 with him, and he got the heck out of Poland. And it's so ironic when you see the film is he fled Poland to escape the tyranny of communism, only to come to America to face something much more savage, and sadly. So anyway, so he came to America with his peptides. He got a job at Baylor College in Texas. And he even, believe it or not, he got a grant from the National Cancer Institute to explore these peptides. So anyway, you want me to keep going? Because I could tell the whole story from right on up. Or
carry on, please.
But that's basically, so that's in the 70s. And then what's so interesting is at the time in Texas, they did not have the same federal regulations, like one of the only states, and sort of being the renegade state that Texas at least at the time was, where as long as you were making your own medicine based on your own discovery and you're making it in your own establishment, giving it to your own patients in your own clinic, that by law did not interfere with federal regulations as long as you didn't ship your medicine across the state lines. He hired a legal team to figure this out, and he informed the Texas Medical Board of this activity. He informed the federal government of his activity. He tried to do nothing sneaky. He just did it by the book because it's the kind of guy he is. So everything was fine. They were all aware. And in 1977, he had his first cure of cancer. And you can imagine, in 1977, Brzezinski being no one, these people that were coming to him were completely on their last leg. They have exhausted everything, and they just were holding on for any glimpse of a possibility of life. And he started, he didn't cure everyone, and he still isn't curing everyone today, but he did have his first cure in 77. And once that happened, the Texas Medical Board came swooping in, trying to halt his practices. Federal government came swooping in, trying to halt his practices. And it continued on from all through the 80s and through almost the late 90s until Brzezinski finally won every level of court and the state level. He won every single one. That the state government could not take away his license. The medical board were unable to take away his license because they were unable to prove any wrongdoing. And the federal government equally was unable to imprison him, was what they wanted to do, accusing him of having his medicine cross state lines. And he was able to prove it in court. The juries, and I have them in the film, were just astonished, that they were even there for such a ridiculous trial, considering this man is curing incurable cancer. So fast forward today, he's accepted into FDA-approved clinical trials, not by the FDA's choice, but because what happened to him in the 90s, they were backed into a corner and were sort of forced by Congress and the public to let these occur. So he's completed phase two. There's one more phase left before it reaches approval and ideally public consumption, public can buy it. But he's now battling with the cost that phase three costs because it's worldwide. And each trial cost $25 million, and he's been greenlit for five of them. So unless Bill Gates or Bloomberg steps up, we're not going to – he's going to have trouble getting these things funded. So,
hey, you're listening to Citywide on WNYU 89.1 FM New York. My name is Lucas Green, and I am talking to Eric Marola, the director of the documentary film Brzezinski. So tell me what – Brzezinski's treatment is.
Essentially, in the early days, He was simply replenishing the body, like as I mentioned earlier, with these peptides that he extracted from human donors from both blood and urine. And what's so kind of sort of comical about the story is obviously you can only get so much blood from a person to extract these peptides. So he collected lots of urine. He set up vats all around Houston, Texas to collect this urine. Then once he began to understand it more, and being the sort of brilliant biochemist that he is, and then you combine that with the sort of backlash he received by being the guy who's, collecting urine around the city. You can only imagine how negative that must look upon the public when they don't really understand what he's doing. He realized or he discovered a way to synthesize it. So now he completely synthesizes these exact peptides. And at the time he still didn't really understand the mechanism. He got pretty good at varying the levels depending on his own experience with cancer patients. But once the Human Genome Project was birthed in the early 90s, then he was able to understand, to his surprise, that what he was doing was affecting the genetic mechanisms in a human body to turn what's called oncogenes off and tumor suppressor genes on. So once that occurred, everything just went in fast forward. Everything just really sped up, and he was really able to be more pinpointed with his treatments. And he was able to even see, based on blood tests, if this individual patient is even a candidate based on what he knows his antineoplastons are capable of doing. Antineoplastons is the name of the medicine that he's invented. So that's basically it. I mean, it's a somewhat personalized treatment. What's interesting, too, is as much controversy as he's had, there's another drug called Gleevec, which is for leukemia. And just 2 weeks ago, Gleevec is a gene-targeted drug, absolutely no different than antineoplastons. It just happens to be the genetic mechanism specifically for leukemia. Just 2 weeks ago on Dr. Oz, they had a slew of patients who have been cured of leukemia using Gleevec, and they were touted and paraded around, which is brilliant, and it's wonderful. And in fact, Brzezinski recommends that anyone with leukemia receive Gleevec, not his medicine. So it's very interesting that, and overall, there's Avastin, there's so many other, there's actually 30 gene-targeted drugs that are available on FDA-approved today that have been given birth since the Human Genome Project arose in the 90s. But the difference between those drugs and what Brzezinski is doing is that those drugs only are able to target a handful of genes, maybe a half a dozen on average, but most of them even one or two genes. His medicine targets 100 genes, and he's able to pinpoint them. He's able to control them, and it's like literally 50 or 60 years ahead of its time, when it comes to the treatments of today. So what's exciting is here is one side of the cancer, so-called cancer industry, touting all of these gene-targeted drugs, which are very effective and successful, but not nearly as effective as his. Yet at the same time saying, oh no, there's a lot of questions about your treatment, Dr. Brzezinski, and your antineoplastons. But the reality is the mechanism is identical. It's absolutely identical. So it's another kind of exciting yet sad part of the story.
But the controversy over Dr. Brzezinski isn't over whether or not antineoplastons work, is it?
Not at all. There are a lot of physicians out there that have sort of fallen victim to a lot of the leftover propaganda that was flying everywhere in the 90s when the FDA was trying to indict him and the Texas Medical Board was trying to take away his license and the National Cancer Institute were essentially sabotaging. You have to see the film. I'll stop there on that part. Well, because he was in the news so much and there was so much negativity swirling around, which landed a lot of negative articles and negative reviews and you name it, just sort of splattered. And if anyone pays attention, if they research him today, most of what you will find is that's negative is in the 90s. And but no, it's because – this is my – I try not to put any opinions in the film. You saw it. I hope you agree that I tried to keep it straight. I tried to just tell the story about – what I could prove with the basic of documented evidence and forensic evidence. And I don't want to throw any opinions in the film, but I'm going to give you an opinion now. This is my opinion on why, the biggest reason why this has been held back. Well, there's really two. The first is the obvious. That is sort of the ingrained belief systems that are sort of instilled in a doctor and in all of oncology. Not all, but a lot of oncology. So you think about it. A doctor spends so many years in medical school learning oncology, and they're told that this is the sort of rule book for each type of cancer. And if somebody else comes in out of nowhere with this whole new approach, it's sort of difficult. As much as it may seem hard to wrap your head around, you think it would be just simple for a scientist. That is, after all, what a scientist does. He's supposed to be open-minded, respect the scientific method, and you know, and incorporate that in his everyday activity. But sadly, it's not the case. I mean, look what happened with Galileo. Look at, you know, there are people today that still think the Earth is flat. You know, and so I could go on and on with examples. But there, to me, the underlying reason is Brzezinski is the sole patent holder. He owns the rights to make it, and he owns the rights to sell it of his discovery. And so when any new brand name drug is released to market, whether it be a Viagra or a Propecia or whatever, or Gleevec, whatever institution, whether it be Pfizer or Amgen or what have you, has the rights to sell that. So if they're the ones that are going along through FDA trials and it's all approved and it's ready to go to market, that company owns has a seven-year exclusive license. That's just how the sort of legislation is laid out. So either Brzezinski or Brzezinski, and even if you partner with Pfizer, that entity will have 7-year exclusive license to make and sell this drug, leaving Amgen, Johnson & Johnson, Bristol-Myers Squibb, all the other guys in the dust. What can they do? So they're going to be still peddling their chemotherapy and all their anti-inflammatory drugs and all their anti-nausea medications to deal with the chemotherapy, while this one entity has the biggest cancer breakthrough the world has ever seen, a huge paradigm shift. And to me, that I see as an obvious problem. Do you care to comment on that?
No, you just said a lot there.
That's just my opinion. I think I'll let the audience figure that out on their own, even though I don't really delve into that, details of that. But so honestly, I mean, you can sort of project and assume all over the place. You can say, okay, well, maybe they'll change the legislation to let all the companies have it. That's probably not going to happen, but it could. I mean, for the sake of humanity, you'd hope so. So it's very interesting. You know what? It's funny is that I think I'm allowed to say this. Somebody that's very close to Brzezinski, who has been trying to raise the money for his phase 3 trials, the big fat $150 million that I was discussing, he's an old college buddy of David Axelrod, the senior advisor to Obama. David Axelrod was personally handed this film at a meeting in Washington, D.C. by Brzezinski's friend. And he saw it, and he wrote an email back to his friend saying how amazed he was by it and how there needs to be a new investigation opened up with the FDA, et cetera. He also claims, I have no proof of this, that he handed a copy to Obama. I have no idea. So it's very interesting. So, I mean, and then you know what I mean? Like, this was last November that Axelrod himself saw the film. And how long, many months has it been? And not a peep, you know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting. When this New York and L.A. thing hits and when all the major press is supposed to supposedly, and most of the major members of the press from the Times and both coasts and more, I don't want to say too much actually about who's going to cover it. I don't want to jinx it, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. So,
well, Eric, if there's one person you want to see this movie who hasn't seen it yet, who do you want it to be?
You might think that I want it to be Obama or someone. Actually, the reality is I want someone that has a lot of money that can write a $150 million check tomorrow to see this movie. That's who I want to see it, because that's the only thing holding him back. Now, that's not entirely true. The FDA could still throw as many monkey wrenches as they possibly can to try to slow it down, but the only thing right now that he's hit a wall with is not having the funds. And it's interesting to note, I did point out in the film, is that when Pfizer or Amgen or any other company has their own drug, whether it be cancer drug or what have you, well, let me go back to cancer. So they have a cancer drug like Gleevec. The National Cancer Institute uses our own taxpayer money and grants as much as 50% of that research money to get it approved by the FDA, to push it and make sure it keeps moving forward, as you would think would make sense for humanitarian reasons, taxpayer money being done something good. But in Brzezinski's situation, well, without explanation, the United States government and the NCI refuses to give him a penny, even though he's right there in the game with everybody else. Everybody gets something, but not Brzezinski. So, you know what I mean? It's very interesting. It couldn't be more obvious. But no one knows about it, and that's another reason why I got so excited about this story. A, it's cancer. It's cancer treatment. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's a legitimate treatment that the system itself has acknowledged, and yet he's still been under the radar. Almost every screening, maybe 5% of the audience knows who he is. Everybody else is baffled that they've never heard of him before. So
that's something else I'm confused about. Your documentary has events that took place almost 20 years ago. Why did it take so long for this story to come out?
That's another reason why I was so excited about the project. I couldn't believe that no one had taken this on. There was one other investigative journalist, I believe his name is Tom Elias, who did write a book, and he attended all of his hearings and everything and published his book in the late 90s. But it apparently didn't do very well. I mean, he's just a small writer. I think, I'm not sure what kind of publishing deal he had. But it sort of, it was on the fringe always. And again, I don't know what to tell you. It's a baffling, I have no way to answer that other than, isn't that great? Wow. Every more reason to drop everything and make a story, make a documentary about this, you know, situation. So.
And then when you did tell the story, I think you've had some documentary experience, and I'm sure you know how to make a documentary that would appeal to everyone, that would be extremely popular and colorful and emotionally evocative, but you instead decide to be portray the emotions in the movie objectively, portray everything objectively, and you just pack it with data. And why did you decide that that would be a more effective way of...
Well, because it's funny, in my first sort of so-called focus group screenings, I had a lot of like successful documentary filmmakers there. And they said, oh, you can't put the sources at the bottom of the screen. I said, oh, you can't have all those documents. No one's going to sit through that. And it was, everything about my film is so unorthodox in the sense of what you're used to seeing in a documentary film. I just felt, since we're dealing with the subject of cancer, I can't be irresponsible about it. I have to be very careful and responsible. And I got to be honest, I took almost as much time editing it and getting it to where it is today than I did like shooting it and putting it together, because I really wanted to make it just perfect and not confuse people, not get people bogged down in the details, but also you know, stay on track and cover it all truthfully and accurately. So I don't know. It was something that I stood my ground with. I just said, this is going to have to be this way. I'm going to have to footnote everything right there on the screen. And while no one's going to be able to read all of them, but they're there. And I also, by the way, on the website, the DVD is officially released, or at the end of the New York and LA run, all of those documents, plus much more, is going to be on the website, open source, for free, for anyone to download the PDFs of those, whether it be a member of the press or the public, you name it. And the fact that I didn't just pull out quotes from the documents, I showed the entire document so the person can even pause the film if they have it on DVD, read that thing for themselves, and then you can see that, you know, the highlighted portion that I gave, in addition to, of course, downloading the original for themselves as well. It just felt right to me. It's never been done before to the degree that I have. And I knew it was dangerous. I thought, you know, maybe this is going to be too much for people, too much to look at, too much going on. And luckily for me, and also just based on my experience in advertising, you know, is learning how to do something that where the audience can relate to and like grab them. I think my experience in, you know, wading through the, in my opinion, like the awful world of advertising, paid off in this sense, where I was able to, you know, take what I wanted to do and take what I learned, you know, what the public feels comfortable with seeing, and you know, try to combine the two, without, of course. Advertising is quite manipulative. I don't think there's a manipulative bone in this thing. But that's the best I can describe it. I knew it was unorthodox. I did it anyway. I took a chance. And so far, that's one of the things that everyone seems to comment on. They were so surprised and satisfied to see that sort of documentation and proof, as opposed to just, here it is, you got to believe me because I'm the one making the movie. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah, we're already almost out of time.
Okay.
And I just want to ask you one more thing. You're... career took a pretty dramatic shift when you took on this project, and I'm just wondering what you're going to do next.
Actually, I'm doing a follow-up film about Brzezinski, absolutely.
I think that's the show. Thanks a lot for coming on today, Eric. I learned a lot. Good luck to you and Dr. Brzezinski.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on the show and helping people know about the film.
And thanks a lot to you guys for listening to Citywide. If you want to find out more about the film which we discussed today, you can visit www.brzezinskimovie.com. That's www.brzezinskimovie.com. And you can also watch the trailers there. The New York premiere of this film is Friday, June 4th, and will be at Cinema Village at 22 East 12th Street. It will play until June 10th. If you're listening online right now, you may be interested in the Austin, Texas premiere, less than a mile away from the Texas Medical Board, and that's at the Long Center on June 6th. And if you have any questions or comments for me about today's show, you can email me at citywide@wnyu.org. That's the show. Once more, my name is Lucas Green. Stay tuned for Jacqueline and Make the Product. With that white, white.
with the cut.